This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad to be here with you today. And I'm also so excited about the guests we have on the show today. We have Christina Patterson joining us. Christina, hello.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, and listen, whenever we started this series on kind of all things God's Word, Christina, yeah, your name was just immediately on my radar because, and I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody what you said right before we started recording, which is, I can talk about the Bible all day, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. And I knew that you could. So I am just thrilled about the conversation we're going to have. Let me introduce you to our listeners. Christina Patterson is a Bible teacher, author, and speaker, passionate about empowering women in the love of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's Word. Christina holds a master's degree in theological studies from Liberty University and is the founder of Beloved Women, a nonprofit providing resources and community for women to truly know who they are in Christ, His beloved. She is also the author of several books, Bible studies, and the creator of the Life Bible Journal that helps believers to intentionally study the Bible and apply God's Word to their everyday lives. And so I think now everyone listening is just as excited as I am about the conversation that we get to have today.
And I'm so excited.
And I will, let me just say this, and I'm going to tell on myself as much as I am you, Christina, before we get started, because I just read some wonderful things about Christina. And you all know me because you've been listening however long you've been listening. You know that I'm a mother of six. Christina, how many kids do you have?
I have two.
You have two. And of course, you have a husband. And so yep. We all know that with children and husbands comes laundry. I mean, we just know, right? And I have a friend. And it doesn't matter how many kids you have. Like, it's like the laundry will never end. No, it's just if there are people in your home, the laundry will never end. And so we were laughing because Christina and I can see each other. And before we started, what we both realized is that peeking over our shoulders are these laundry baskets with clothes in them.
Unfolded laundry.
Unfolded laundry that we tried to hide from each other. And we both have them.
Right. They're clean, though, but they're just not folded.
That's right. And that's the thing. There's no machine to fold laundry.
Right.
And so we wash it and we dry it. And then it hides behind things in the laundry baskets that we just didn't quite get all the way hidden today. So so here we are. And we're about to have this wonderful conversation with our laundry that we're going to probably go fold or maybe not after we finish. So here we are.
Probably not.
Okay, but let's get into it. And really the first thing that I wanted to ask you about, this is what I love. One of the things that I just read about you is that you're passionate about empowering women, but I love how you finish this sentence about empowering women in the love of Jesus and the truth of God's Word. And I'm going to say that I don't often hear those two things connected. Like you hear about empowering women to go do something, to live on purpose, which is all great. But as I was reading that, empowering women in the love of Jesus and the truth of God's Word, I would love for you to speak to that for a minute. What does that even look like to be empowered in the love of Jesus and the truth of God's Word?
Yeah. You know, when I started Beloved Women, the Lord just gave me a simple mission. And it was, Christina, I want you to share with women that I love them. That's it. It's that God's love is what compels us to change towards freedom, towards joy. You know, anything, any of those spiritual blessings that we read about in Ephesians are compelled because of God's love for us. Nothing that we've done, nothing that we didn't do, is going to actually like give us more of God's love. My mission is to let women know that this isn't some like cute cliche, oh, Jesus loves you, but like this is a real life-changing love that can turn your whole world upside down. Mm-hmm. But the way for me to get women to understand that love is through God's word, mm-hmm. because it's his word that tells us that we're loved. Mm-hmm. And so it's the foundation, his word, his truth, is the foundation for us knowing that we're loved in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so his love and his truth have to go together. Mm-hmm. They have to go together. And so one of just the core missions of Beloved Women is Bible study. Mm-hmm. It's Bible study. It's to get women into the word of God so that they can then grasp how wide and deep and high is the love of God mm-hmm. for them. Because apart from his word, then you can't really grasp his love mm-hmm. because it's his word that shows everything that he's done for us already on the cross to connect us to his love in the first place.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. And like, as I'm listening, it's, you know, a lot of times I feel like we come to Bible study and we're not approaching it. We're not coming to it like, I'm going to learn more about God's love. I don't know. Yeah. Like, have you found that, Christina? Because I know you've done so many Bible studies with women and you've done it for years. And I just think sometimes we come to Bible study and we come thinking, I'm going to learn how to do this something better. Or I'm going to learn how to live for God better, right? Like it's still about, and I love how you said it's not about anything we could ever do or anything we've ever not done that earns God's love or gets more of God's love. But it's just, I love how you connected that with, that's why we study the Bible, to understand his love more. And then there's obviously so much more that we learn, but that's the foundation. And so speak to that a little bit about coming to Bible study with that mindset, because I do think it's a very small shift that makes a ginormous difference. Like when you talked about that verse at the end of Ephesians 3, you know, that so for those of you who are listening, you just heard Christina say, you know, to grasp how high and how deep and how wide and how long is the love of Christ. That's straight out of the Bible, out of Ephesians 3. And honestly, Christina, it's something I pray for my kids, because when you understand God's love like that, it does change everything. Right. So how do we come to Bible study expecting to learn more about God's love for us?
Yeah. I think we have to understand like the purpose of his word, you know, and that it's not like a step-by-step self-help guide. You know, it's a love letter to us professing God's love and what he's already done for us. And actually, we did a study in Beloved last year called Worth More Than Rubies. And it was about the Proverbs 31 woman. And I shared with you a little, you shared with me your book, because I know you've studied the Proverbs 31 woman as well. And one of the greatest lessons that we took away from that study that I think a lot of people get wrong about the Proverbs 31 passage is that it's really about the woman's God and not about her herself. And so we can look at that passage, and this is just an example. We can do this with any kind of scripture or verse in the Bible, and we look at it for like a prescription for how to live life, you know. And the Bible obviously gives us so much application mm-hmm. and practical ways to live for God, right? But ultimately, all of the Bible, even the Proverbs 31 passage, is pointing us to God, right? And so we can, if we don't get that, then we can end up putting more weight on ourselves than we need to. So we'll look at a passage like Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman, and we'll say, oh, well, you know, she had a business and she gave and she woke up early, and we'll get caught up once again in doing all these things and forget that she had the power to do those things because she was devoted to the Lord mm-hmm. first. Mm-hmm. And so really reminding ourselves that coming to God's word is about connecting with him mm-hmm. so that we can then enable, he can enable us and empower mm-hmm. us to be the women that he's called us to be, not so that we can empower ourselves to be who we want to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so that it's not that, you know, we have these good works to try to like prove ourselves or prove ourselves to God or earn our salvation, you know, or look a certain way. But it's like, no, I'm coming to God's word because this is what's going to feed my soul to help me to respond to God's love with good works, you know? So it's not like we're not saved by good works, but we're saved for good works. Mm-hmm. And so we have to start first with the salvation that we learn that we have in the Bible first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bible is our daily bread. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a supplement, like, oh, let me just read a little bit so I can feel good about myself today. It's like, no, spiritually, you need God's word every day. Jesus told us, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be consuming his word daily, just like we would consume food or water. Mm-hmm. And so when we realize the importance of God's word in our spiritual lives in that sense, mm-hmm. We won't come to God's word like it's some sort of snack every now and then, but like, I need this daily bread every single day because it's vital to my spiritual growth and my spiritual vitality.
Mm-hmm. And so there's so many things that you just said that I want to touch on. The first thing, I just the daily bread. And so it's interesting how you talked about the difference in approaching God's word, not as like, you know, this, I'm not going to say it right, but not as a rule book, you know, not as a, let me make sure I download the rules and so that I do everything right, but as a love letter. And I feel like that's such a big deal because I know, and I don't think I'm the only one that's ever felt like this, but when we approach God's word and we feel like it's more like a rule book, it can kind of like stress us out to get in the word. And then we're like stressed out about coming to God's word because we feel like it's up to us to get something out of it. It's up to us to like figure it out. And then the whole process just becomes like another thing in our life that feels like pressure. And and then we don't want to do it. Who wants to do that, right? Then we like get all, you know, locked up because we're like, well, now all this pressure is on me to get something out of God's word. And it's so opposite of what you just described. It's so opposite of coming to it, understanding like this is a letter from our God about himself and to experience him and meet him and understand more of his love. And so then, you know, I take that into the daily bread that you talked about. And I would just love for you to share for the woman that's like, I keep hearing this, you know, I keep hearing like it's not a snack, you know, but maybe she's not feeling right. You know, maybe she's not feeling that daily change or that she's not feeling like she just got this, you know, wave of adrenaline to go do her day. And so can you speak to that woman, you know, like how it really does impact our daily lives?
Right. I mean, I think with any spiritual discipline, prayer, reading your Bible, it takes building up that spiritual muscle, and that if we're faithful to give him even the little that we have, you know, I got 5 minutes this morning, that he's faithful to multiply it, that he's faithful to provide for us. And I mean, if you don't believe it, just test it and see, you know, what do you have to lose? You know, just say every morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to read this devotional, or I'm going to read my Bible for 5 minutes. Like, start small. Don't try to like read a whole chapter every single day if you've never, you know, done that before, you know, But test God, test his word and pray and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And I have said this before. I don't know if I've said it on the podcast. I forget where I was saying it. But when I first really started experiencing God for myself in his word, it was with 1 to 2 scriptures a day. That's what I would read. 1 or 2 scriptures a day, 1 or 2 verses, not 1 or 2 chapters. But 1 or 2 verses a day, and I would do it every, you know, each day. And I can think of actually 2 completely different times in my life, years apart, that I was doing I was reading one or two verses a day, and God's word just opened up, and like that changing of your day because you know you have met with the living God of the universe, the one true God, and you're like, wow, what just happened? That happened as I was reading 1 or 2 scriptures a day. So to your point, like it doesn't have to be, let me carve out this 2 hours, you know, of quiet time and no interruptions. Like that's not super realistic for a lot of people. Okay. So that is fabulous. I thank you for that encouragement.
And I wanted to add one more thing too. I wanted to encourage listeners to give God's time, give God's word that you're implanting in your heart time to root and grow. Give it time. You know, seeds take time to grow. And so, like, I might read a scripture and not understand it or be like, God, what was that? You know, and then something will happen a few days or weeks later, like an actual real life event. And then the Holy Spirit will bring that verse back to my mind and it'll tell me, it'll give me wisdom as far as what I need to do or how I need to respond, you know? And so just like when you plant a seed, you don't automatically see any kind of growth. You don't know that it's taking root because you can't actually see it if you're above ground. God's word is very similar in our hearts. Like, you're reading it every day. Maybe you're not feeling anything quite yet, but that doesn't mean that it's not taking root. And that doesn't mean that you won't need the fruit of that a week from now, a month from now, or a year from now. And so that really just takes faith to say, I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep planting those seeds of faith in God's truth in my heart, because I truly believe that it's going to produce a harvest one day when I really need it.
Mm-hmm. And that's so good. And I could give testimony to that too. And it's so exciting when that happens. And like, if you have kids and it happens, and it happens with your kids, you have opportunity then to testify to, this is why you get in God's word, because he'll bring it up and you'll need it. And because you were there, like, he knew what was coming. And so it's so exciting. And I love that patience with the process and just the faith that coming to God's word, does his word does not return void. It will be useful. So I want to get into a little more into this beloved community, and I want to talk about two parts of that. The first thing is the name, and then the second part is the community piece. But let's start with the name, beloved. It's so beautiful, and you've said it multiple times, and we even talked as I introduced you about, you know, how it's named that so that women know who they are in Christ, which is his beloved. And we've already talked about his love, but just tell me a little bit more about that name. How you landed on that name and how it connects to what you're doing with getting women in God's word.
Yeah, well, it's really personal. You know, when I went to college, I was challenged to make my faith my own. You know, like, I grew up in the church. I grew up with my, you know, mom going to church every Sunday because she went, you know. And then when you go to college and you don't have that anymore, you have to really decide for yourself, you know, am I really going to have my own relationship with God, you know? And I was challenged because I realized that in that season, I had accepted God as my savior, but I was not letting him lead my life as my Lord, you know? And I was Christian, I believed in Jesus, but I was making decisions myself, you know? And being in that situation, I made some decisions that were against God, heartbreaking to God, you know. And I remember facing the consequences of that and coming back to God and expecting him to be like, well, I told you so, or you should have did this, or you shouldn't have did that, you know. And when I expected him to turn his back on me because that's what I did to him, God just enveloped me with this experience of just his love that I had never experienced before at a time where I deserved it the absolute least. And it changed the trajectory of my entire life. And I remember reading Romans 8 shortly after that experience and just the words of that there's nothing in all creation that can separate you from the love of God the Father, whether that is your own sin, someone else's sin, your past, your history, your family history, and just those words sinking so deep into my heart and becoming so real and just then birthing a revived love response to God from me. That wasn't because my mom told me to go to church. That wasn't because I felt like it was the right thing to do, but because I had truly experienced God's love himself for me. And when you have that kind of experience, when you truly grasp God's love, the only response is true, sincere love back to him. And I have a passion to help other women experience that love so that they can also have that same love for God as well. And so that's where the name Beloved came from, because anytime someone says the name, I want them to remember who they are. Yeah. mm-hmm. and that they are beloved. Every time you see that name, that's you. Mm-hmm. You know, you are beloved, and don't you forget it. And I tell my kids that every time they get out the car, I'm like in the carpool line as they're running out the car, I'm screaming at them, you are a child of God. You are smart. You are brave. You are loved. And don't you let nobody else tell you otherwise. And that's the main message.
Well, and you know, because everybody else does tell you otherwise, because yeah. everywhere you look, you're going to hear something different, and
you're not enough. Yeah.
And it's not just our kids. And it's so interesting, Christina, that we do that. Like, we will say things to our children, yeah. or maybe yes. you are a teacher and you have little ones in your room, or maybe you are a grandmother and we will say things to those little ones, and then we yeah. will not say them to ourselves. And but that's why I love so much that it's the name, because to your point, what you just said, every time we say beloved, you have the opportunity to remember that, to receive it, and then to walk in it. Because I do think we let what other people might say or not say, but imply, you know, or what we mm-hmm. might decide just watching someone else or something else, we'll walk around in that. We'll kind of wear that. But what, how exciting is it to consider that we could walk around like, I'm beloved by my Savior? Yeah. You know, it's just, it's a very different, we go back to the daily walk, the daily rhythm of our lives. That's a fun way to walk around, to remember I'm beloved by my Savior, right?
Yeah. It really helps us to not wrap our identity in lesser things like the opinion of other people or our to-do list. You know, we were talking about that earlier, or if our laundry is not folded yet, and just really grabs like, I'm beloved, and that's number one. Mm-hmm. And when you know that you're loved, you'll live like you're loved. Mm-hmm. And that changes everything.
Mm-hmm. And a love that doesn't change. And you've spoken right. to that, like in your experience, it's a steadfast love of our right. Savior that doesn't rise and fall, which means our circumstances can rise and fall, our good works can rise and fall, our yep. you know, but His love doesn't. His love never changes. And so just, you know, you've said the word foundation, Christina. I mean, what yeah. a foundation to build. Immovable. It's immovable. Yeah. It's just, and it is life changing, and it's daily. It changes your daily life. If right. we would sit there and we would just dwell there, which I know that's exactly what you're doing. You're kind of bringing people, women into a community where we can just hang out right here. We can dwell here. We can abide here. Like John 15 says, Jesus said, remain in my love.
My love. Yes. Amen.
That's where our days change, and every day changes, and it's life changing. But I want to touch on one thing before we wrap this up, because the other part of this is that it's a community. And I even heard you say, which I loved, you were talking about, I think, the Proverbs 31 study, and you said, we discovered. And so I want you to speak, because I do think that can also be something that women aren't always living in community. We're busy. Yeah. Or sometimes we bother each other. And so we think it's easier just to, you know, do it on our own, and I'll get in God's word myself. So talk a minute to community. Is it really important? Is it something we need? Yeah. Is it just like, well, if you feel like it, what have you learned about community?
Yeah, it's vital. It is vital to our spiritual growth, because, you know, spiritual warfare is real, you know, and if we're out there on our own, we just open ourselves up more for attack. And God has given us His body, the church, all of us collectively, to have each other's backs. You know, He will use other people to protect us, to build us up. I've been speaking, I've referenced Ephesians a few times, because I'm teaching Ephesians in our adult Sunday school class. And much of it is about the body of Christ and the kingdom of God that God is building, this building that He's building, which consists of me and you, believers in Christ, the body of Christ, and how we all work together, and that this isn't, it's it, like community isn't like just some idea that, you know, pastors and teachers are throwing out there just because they don't like introverts. It's because this is the way that God has set up his kingdom for us to grow together, for us to be strong together, for us to share our spiritual gifts together. There are some aspects about experiencing God's love, about sharing your spiritual gifts that you can't do outside of community. You can't do in isolation. And so we have to have each other if we're going to experience God in those ways, if we're going to be able to serve the way that God calls us to actually serve. We just can't do it by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's so important.
Yeah. I mean, I'm nodding this whole time. I'm just nodding along. And listen, this is coming. I have not always been the joiner. Like we've moved a bunch, my family and I, and it hasn't always been easy. Sometimes taking the first step towards community can feel really difficult, because if you feel like you're stepping into a group of people that has already existed and you're like the new girl, or you're the outsider and you feel like everybody else has their place, then are they going to accept me and welcome me and all of that? So I don't want it to seem like you and I don't understand that those things exist, but we also don't want that to keep you from taking the first step. And I will say that there are times when you might think something about a group of women or a woman, it makes you feel like, you know, she's got her stuff. She doesn't need, you know, she doesn't need community. So, but a lot of times what you assume might not be correct. And then, you know, to your point, Christina, I think sometimes we think of community like sitting around at the, you know, on the couch at the coffee house, like with your best friends. And that's really not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a bunch of people that have everything in common. We're talking about people that have one thing in common, and that's Jesus Christ. And we don't need anything else in common because we have him in common. So Christina, just as we wrap up, for the woman who's like, all right, fine, I'll try it, because you keep talking about it, you know, what's her first step? I know like Beloved is a community she could join, right?
Yeah. I want to say her first step is to pray. Mm. Start in prayer. Say, Lord, I have a heart to connect with you and your people. Will you show me the way? Pray that prayer. Then I want you to decide that tonight or tomorrow you are going to open your Bible and read a psalm. Just one. Just read a psalm if you're just getting into Bible reading. Just one psalm. You don't have to write anything down. Just read it. If you're inspired to pray, then pray about it. That would be your next step. So we're going to pray to God. We're going to read a psalm tonight or tomorrow. And then we want to pray and take steps towards connecting with a Christian community, preferably a local church, your local church that is a good Bible-based local church. And then, of course, there are so many online resources to connect with, like this podcast or belovedwomen.org, but praying, getting into your Bible and connecting with a local body of believers are going to be your first three steps. And I pray that the Lord, and I trust that the Lord will lead you because that's his will.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And you know what? We'll be praying that too. We'll be praying with you. And, you know, God already has, he already has the direction. He already has the path. So when you start with him, when you pray, and then just follow him one step at a time.
And I wanted to say that that same time when I was in college, right when God was kind of changing my heart, I remember just praying to God one day in my dorm because I was lonely. I didn't have any other friends to connect with. And I said, God, I'm lonely. Will you please just send me one friend? I don't need a group. I just need one. And the next day, I met my best friend, Sade. We were all supposed to go to the trip to a mall together. Everybody backed out except for me and her. And we decided to go anyways. We have been best friends since. She has been in my wedding. She is my children's godparents. But more than all, this woman prays for me. I text her this morning. She sent me a prayer text, you know. And so God knows your needs, especially when it comes to community. And he does not want you to be alone. He did not create you to be alone. And so really, I just want to encourage women to just pray about the community that he has for you, and he'll show you the way.
Amen. So good, Christina. Thank you so much. I think this is a podcast that you could go back and listen to over and over and over and take like in 10-minute bites, you know?
I love it.
This has been so good. And we just appreciate you being here, Christina. Thank you for all of the wisdom and encouragement that you've shared with us and for the practical steps that you have left us with to go get in God's word, experience his love, and then engage in the body of Christ in a Christian community. And so thank you for joining us today. We are so glad that you are part of our conversation. And I know that as you have listened today, you have found at least one thing that you can take and apply to help today be your best day ever. Thank you for joining us.